What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
It is that time of the week. Paul Koharski from PaulKoharski.com with us in studio here on Robbie and Rex Road for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. We'll take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. PK, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. Good to see you guys. Good to chime in on the rant. I like that Rex Road feels under pressure now. On the rant. The Wednesday rant will be special.
Yeah, it will be.
Robbie, you got next week.
Special edition of
you,
the
rant. That's fine. You can feel this.
And look, yeah. he wants to slough off on
these judging eyes right next to you. Can we get a camera on PK?
I'll do it next week. He'll be fresh off the England trip. He'll be tired. He won't have the energy to yell
That's
at me
true.
Next week for my
That's
rant. I'll, yeah, I'll do it next week.
So I was up at 5 today. Yesterday, my intention was to get up at 6. And I woke at 6. I know there's no sympathy from you guys based on your hours. But I was going to go 6, 5, 4. Yesterday I got up at 6 and then slept till 8. But today I did get up at 5, and tomorrow I'm going to get up at 4, which I was counseled would be a good way to acclimate
sure.
to London time to reduce my jet lag, which was horrible last time.
Is that right? I was going to say, you could always just get over there and drink yourself to sleep and when you need to go to sleep, and then you could be fine, too. Well, you know, whatever.
I'm not going to have trouble getting sleep when I'm over there. That's the problem.
Right, but if you go to bed early enough, then right?
Well, I get there, I got to go visit with the Titans, get to my hotel and get settled in, and then I'm going to England, Australia, soccer match. So my fear is being awake for the soccer match.
You and Andrew at the soccer match.
Yes. Yeah, Andrew.
I bet you he'll dress up real nice for that.
He's coming directly from some of his radio duties, so it will be interesting.
Is he getting Botox before the match?
I don't know. There probably are different regulations on Botox over there, so he may be able to do more.
Tell him not to. Yeah, tell him not to bring his his Botox, his like slightly illegal Botox with him on the suitcase. He might get caught by.
Yeah,
it
feels
customs.
Like more of a Saturday thing to me for him.
Right.
BK, tell us about Zen Sports.
Zen Sports, if you go now, download their app, sign up using TN Paul, all capital letters, and make a $10 bet, you get a free membership to PaulKoharski.com. There's a special offer for existing members that existing members can find out about at the site. But if you're not a member, it's a pretty cool deal. Just go there, bet $10, and you get a membership for a year. So get over there.
So PK, Titans give up almost 200 yards rushing against Indianapolis. Anthony Richardson goes down. Gardner Minshew comes in. And the Titans still lose that game 23-16. And obviously an in-the-division loss, devastating for the Titans on Sunday. What did you make of that game and where the Titans are, especially on the road, where they cannot score touchdowns and cannot win games at the moment?
When I was at ESPN, I had stats and info do research to see if the Titans had in fact scored 16 points more than any team in the history of the league, because I feel like during my time covering this team 25 years it didn't flesh out that way, but I still
three field goals and a TD.
That
sounds like a Jeff Fisher special.
Yes, I still maintain that they score 16 in my head more than any team in the history of football at any level. I mean, it's just amazing that they got relatively good pass protection, whether, you know, sack-wise, certainly, pressure-wise, certainly, whether it was technically good or not. The big root cause of everything, right, is fixed. And then they find ways to F up everything else in the game. Their own mighty pass pressure, and I wasn't at Vrabel on Monday, so I didn't hear the tone of it. But, I mean, he was mocking them for getting two whole hits on the quarterback and influencing nothing and, you know, getting no tipped balls. So that was the most discouraging thing to me, is that defensive front, especially against Minshew, who's not mobile, getting no pressure on him and having no influence on the game is terrible and inexcusable. I thought Simmons wasn't the same after the shoulder thing, which apparently is no big deal. Autry rendered invisible. Landry, it's hard to expect anything of now. Key, quiet. And then it cascades from there. To me, that group is the tone-setting group of this team. And if they do nothing, I'm not surprised that nothing happens. So it started there. And then, you know, the Fulton story is just massive. He's got to tell his parents to be quiet. That's incredibly embarrassing.
Did his dad say anything about your mom on Twitter?
His dad doesn't address me on Twitter, but I don't go to his dad's family barbecues either.
Got to rip on Andrew some more, huh?
Did he
Botox before that?
I didn't say it was Andrew. You said it was Andrew. I was going to leave things anonymous. For a guy's parents, for a grown man's parents to be out there, like, I mean, I've done stupid stuff that I've had to address on Twitter, and my mom and dad were never out there defending me. And it's just an embarrassing look. And I think we're going to see Trey Avery this weekend.
Really? Starting?
If not straight out starting, you know, what they do is create a package that minimizes the guy who's a problem.
Is that what you think they should do?
I do, not because I think Trey Avery is a quote-unquote better corner than Christian Fulton, but because I think Christian Fulton's head is so messed up right now that he needs a break.
Stilly and Pauly aligned on another big issue.
Well, it's very clear to me Vrabel is very frustrated. I mean, we never hear Vrabel talk individually about anybody. And after the game, he's talking about how he thought about taking him out. And, you know, the other day at the Monday press conference about at some point you got to be a professional and get out there and do your job. Like, it goes back to the comments at the end of last year of the repeat offender stuff. Like, there's some frustration that I think that's pretty clear from Vrabel to Fulton.
Where's the reality check? I would hope that Chris Harris or Shane Bowen or Mike Vrabel or some combination of two or three of them are talking to him and saying, when you're in front of the camera saying that you were technically sound, you're just saying that, right? You don't believe that,
right?
Because if he believes what he told us, Joe, that's a big problem.
Yeah, well, like I said Monday, he may have had 50 of the most perfect teach tape cornerback snaps corners ever had.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know. Right. But for one, he said like there was one play. Like, no, there's four plays here that are a real problem and you weren't sound. So it wasn't one. It was four.
To say he thinks he got square on the one where he got run over, I mean, he barely got in position to try to begin to turn his shoulders. And even if he did that, then his shoulders would have been square, but the rest of his body wasn't anywhere near getting there with him.
Right.
Just.
And I agree. And that was, and he was misguided. You know, you're right in the heat of the moment. He knows everybody's coming for him. Yes. You'd want more public accountability than that. But look, I just think he's the best corner that they have. He's the most talented corner they have. They're not going to do what they want to do without him. I guess I hear you on give him a break, you know, all that stuff. But to me, this is kind of like it needs to be a rock bottom moment, and then he needs to adjust. And Vrabel's out here saying you can't try to get picks in man. You're like, he's obviously, for whatever reason, he's pressing it, right? And he's playing outside himself. But I'm not benching him right now, personally. I'm letting him play through it and seeing if he responds to what should be rock bottom. And then if it's like, you know, a couple more things happen in this game, okay, Trey, you're in. That's how I would play it. I think that's how they will play it, but we'll see.
I'm envisioning them minimizing it this week. Then you got to buy, and then you assess after that. Where they could be assessing a lot of things during the buy.
Are they in a tournament?
Huh?
They're in a tournament? What,
Joe won't accept that he's wrong and it's just a bye week and not an
bye
week.
Listen, there are certain things, whether calling it a bye is correct or not, and I don't think it's incorrect.
No, it is.
When something is so widely accepted as correct,
oh yeah,
it becomes part of the vernacular.
That's fine. That's how society declines and eventually disappears.
Just bye week.
Way to be part of it.
The league writes it as
bye. Oh, yeah. Well, the NFL, they write end racism in the end zones, too. They write a lot of good stuff.
What do I have to call it?
It's also in the Webster's Dictionary.
It's an idle week. Yeah, well, there. Well, again, it's erosion of society. It's an idle week, or it's an off. A bye is when you have when other teams have to play to meet you in a tournament. You have a bye to the next round. That's what it is.
That's correct. That is a bye. But I think this is also a bye.
He's been yelling and has been wrong about this for 3 years.
People want to join me.
People want to hear other stuff.
I'm not going to stop.
If you've done it before.
I'm not going to stop.
What else do you have?
Run defense. It was so bad Sunday.
Listen, both Simmons and Byard talked about the patience of Zach Moss and compared him to Le'Veon Bell. Now, Le'Veon Bell, before he blew up the contract thing and took a year off and signed with the Jets, was a two-time first-team All-Pro. Do we think that the Colts just gave Jonathan Taylor $28 million guaranteed, $40 million over 3 years because they think Zach Moss is going to be a two-time first-team All-Pro? I'll answer the rhetorical question. No.
So now you're saying Jim Astor is intelligent. You've got a lot of takes today.
No, I don't think it's a good contract or anything like that. I'm saying Zach Moss is not, in fact, Le'Veon Bell at his prime. So you're saying, in effect, we made a second-string running back look like Le'Veon Bell, who at his peak was a first-team all-pro running back who was outstanding. Look at what we just did. The guy, with his mere hesitation, made himself look incredible. We did that. We made him Le'Veon Bell. Wow.
It is amazing. They're
saying that like it's some massive Zach Moss accomplishment, when actually they did it.
It was incredible. It really was.
Look what we did to Zach Moss.
Did anybody say anything about Minshew afterward? Like, you know, that Michael Vick out there. Yeah.
You guys remember Dan Marino?
Yeah. A combination.
Oh, man. We'll have more with Paul Karski from paulkarski.com coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Make your silly underdog picks today for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app as we approach week 7 of college football, week 6 of the NFL. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexro. We got Paul Kuharski with paulkuharski.com joining us for the rest of this hour, taking your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans. Offensively, not able to get the running game going on Sunday against Indianapolis. Hopkins, though, with a big game. We were talking about this earlier. Hopkins is on pace right now, 88 catches, 1,210 yards. What do you make of what he's seen? And do you feel like that production and that pace maybe could ramp up even further as they continue to get more comfortable in the offense here?
That would be outstanding. Yeah, I mean, I think the production could ramp up because obviously that's the biggest game he's had. Where he's not made an impact is in the end zone, and they've got to figure out a way to get him the ball inside the red zone. I'd rather the quarterback be throwing to him in the red zone than the running back. They've only targeted him, I think, twice in the red zone all season, and I think it's been two trick plays, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not remembering exactly what
that was. Definitely one last week, and it was the trick play. Yeah. Is that right? Two all season.
Jeez.
So he's got to be a part of them trying to get things going down there. And but he converts third downs into first downs very well for them. I don't feel like, you know, Burks bringing them what Burks is supposed to bring them will be big. But I feel like even once Burks comes back, like, I'm not expecting a big splash. I'm expecting it'll take ramp-up time. Obviously, it's going to take Phillips ramp-up time. There were third downs where I was looking for Phillips to be on the field in this game that I felt like he would have been ideal, and he was a non-factor.
I mean, he was out there some. Yeah. Didn't get the ball.
Yeah. Targeted once the whole game. Yep. You know, had one 12-yard punt return. So was a non-factor. So I think, you know, I had trouble envisioning them giving Hopkins the kind of workload that Hopkins has had in his career, but this game certainly was representative of their willingness and ability to do it, and I think they should definitely continue with that. They'll say it's a game-by-game thing and all of that. But if you call enough plays where he's the first guy in the progression, you know, well, hopefully there's a window there and they could keep going to him. And I think he's kind of a contagious guy too. You know, they don't have a lot of rhythm to the offense, certainly when Henry's not going. Henry's always been that rhythm, so maybe Hopkins can take on a little bit of that role.
Well, and you don't have, like, Chig right now is not giving you much from the tight end spot.
He's got no feel for the game, I feel like. And,
not catching the ball when it's thrown to him.
I'm going to talk about that in a podcast, and I've got a story half written about, you know, one of the things that we fell for in the offseason was that Chig and Burks were going to be, you know, significantly better in their second year. And Burks, you know, has one 70-yard catch, and beyond that, I think he's got like 25 yards on a couple of catches and three drops. And Chig, you know, has been called on more to block than to catch. He's not a terrific blocker, hasn't made great gains there, or maybe he's made great gains, but it's not big enough. He's just is what he is in terms of body size and strength and all of that. And in the past game last year, he was number one in the league with 3 yards after the catch above expected. And this year his number is negative. So that thing that made him so special has completely disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, last year, first of all, early in the year, there were probably 4 or 5 games, I don't have it in front of me, where he had one catch, but it was a big shot, right? So that skews that number
like
a little bit.
Like the Wiley catch a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, right. I do wonder, maybe with Chig, is the emphasis on blocking, has there been some sacrifice a little bit? I don't know. I mean, that's just me speculating.
I think there has been some sacrifice, but even with some sacrifice, I think you should see more.
The Burks thing, I mean, take away the injury and everything, that is where camp, I think, definitely lied because also the chemistry looked really good. And even from the first game, it's like, well, Tannehill and Hopkins are vibing, but he's not even looking at Burks. And that has been surprising to me. Obviously, the 70-yarder, one of the biggest plays of the season, because I think that's why they beat the Chargers.
I agree.
Yeah.
Like, changed that game completely. But it is very surprising. And I think you're right, there's going to be a ramp up. But at some point, it's got to be a thing. Beyond Chig, to me, Burks is a much more important storyline here, that he has to start to become a guy who can take some of those short ones and get some yard after catch and can stretch it vertically. And if you have that with what Hopkins is doing, you might actually have something.
You know, I think it's a little early, but he's not going to be A.J. Brown. But be A.J. Brown light, be A.J. Brown couple plays, you know, that what you're talking about, where you take some kind of crosser and do something with it. You know, we haven't seen any signs of that.
But in college, it was all over the place. And I know it's college versus the NFL, but there should be more carryover.
Yeah, that's what they drafted. And it's another, you know, you hate to overemphasize the Robinson legacy, but, you know, that's a big part of the Robinson legacy. It wasn't just caving into AJ, but it was that Burks was going to be significant in replacing AJ, and he's not.
The offensive line part of this, do you feel like they've made some progress there significantly, or was it more to do with the opponent that they played on Sunday that just doesn't really have the quality rushers that they have seen?
I would say more to that. I mean, Indy's not good on the edge. And Quiddy Pay was out, who, you know, is better than what they had on the edge. I mean, that's the first game that really fit this protect from the inside out that the Titans talk about, and which is why Skoronski is a guard and why they drafted a guard at 11. And, you know, DeForest Buckner didn't kill them by any means,
although he made
noise.
He threw Brewer around a few times.
Yeah. But he wasn't like a game wrecker, you know. And so that part of their inside-out attitude is because of a guy like that they're going to see twice a year. And so they did okay with that. They certainly did better against a team with a force from the inside than they've done against forces from the outside. So
So
Petit, whatever that's worth.
So what's your read on Petit Frere and where that's going? Because like you said, this last game, they weren't challenged like they have been. They looked better at tackle. Yep. But Petit Frere, first of all, I'm a little surprised he wasn't at least available last week. But apparently the week of practice wasn't what they wanted to see. But, you know, Chris Hubbard, Buckner did destroy Hubbard on the 4th-and-1. Now, you know, one person on a block to force Buckner, he's a heck of a player. I mean, you know, maybe schematically that's more the issue. But I still think that you could do better than Chris Hubbard. Like, where do you think this goes with Petit Frere?
I mean, I think Hubbard is probably there to stay. The only reason to change on the right side would be if you felt like Petit Frere could play there needing help less frequently.
I mean, don't you need to hope that Petit Frere can be better than Chris Hubbard?
You need to hope it, but I don't know that he's shown it. You know, I think it's a credit to Hubbard, but I think they've gotten comfortable with what Hubbard's doing and with the help they're giving him. So I don't know. I asked Vrabel, you know, what his philosophy. I should have asked it while Petit Frere was away. You know, what's your philosophy about an incumbent getting his job?
So he didn't know what you're talking about. So he's that on to you?
Well, no, but to ask it right when Petit Frere came back, you know, he's not going to share.
He's going to coach speak.
But it seems like his philosophy is that he's going to stick with what's working. I think the question about Petit Frere is more about the left side, based on how much he worked on the left side last week. And I think he's going to be the first option to replace Dillard if they replace Dillard. But I don't think they're as unsatisfied with Dillard as everybody wants them to be. And I think Dillard's got a chance to continue there if he continues to improve or have good snaps. And I think Skoronski's return helps him be better because he's got a security blanket inside now, can concentrate a little bit more on outside, and they're going to see how that continues to go in London.
We'll continue the conversation with Paul Kaharski coming up next, including something about the Titans and the way they've handled some things post-game this year that has bothered me. I think should bother Mike Vrabel, and we'll get PK's thoughts on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us. PK, tell us about Zen Sports.
Go to Zen Sports right now, download their app, use code TNPAUL, all in capital letters. Make a $10 bet, get a free year's membership to paulkuharski.com. Pretty simple. Download the app, make a $10 bet, use TNPAUL as the code, get a free year membership to my site. Bingo.
So, PK, we were talking about this the other day. There's something about the Titans that's been bothering me, and if I'm a Titans fan, like I don't know that I really want to hear this the rest of the year, and that is getting in the post game and talking about the officiating. I mean, you had Christian Fulton on Sunday talking about playing against – you know, as a defensive back, the receivers and the refs. We've had, you know, some other instances so far this year. The Titans talk about officiating after the game. And I just, based on what I've seen to this point, like we talked about this, I think, Monday. The Titans, to me, have one gripe with officiating that is legitimate so far this year, and that is the Derek Carr play in the New Orleans game, which I thought was clearly a fumble, and they took the touchdown off the board. That's about it. Like, there are going to be bad calls here and there, and certainly they've had some calls go against them. You know, Christian Fulton also had a call go for him where Amari Cooper dusted him and he wasn't close to running out of bounds, and they took a touchdown off the board for the Browns. So
Amari Cooper did push off.
He did push off on that play. But I just the officiating, if I'm Vrabel hearing some of that from the players in the locker room after the game, that would bother me.
I asked Vrabel about that after where were we? Cleveland, I think. And he said, you know, he indicated, you know, they were free to speak their mind on it.
Yeah, he would never say publicly that that bothers him, right? I don't think so.
No, but he could say, you know, I'll be the one to speak about the official kind of thing. I don't have a problem with them saying what they want to say. I encourage it, But I do think it could come across as excuse making.
Well, it did with Simmons in Cleveland.
I thought so. And I think, you know, it comes
across
that way.
You sure you want to say that again?
I think it comes across that way with Fulton there. But I also think they know that I don't think they're doing a deep dive into the psychology of it, but fans sit home and complain about officials too, and they can tack on to that and gain some sympathy after a loss in the way that, you know, once in a while you'll tweet something from a game and about a bad play and it'll say, well, he didn't have a chance there. He was held, you know, so badly. And I think player will jump on that and say, yeah, see?
Like it?
Yeah.
The player will like it or whatever you call it now. So, but here's the thing. It's like the boy who cried wolf. There are times when it's – look, there are times when a call costs you a game.
Absolutely.
There are times – like, I don't even remember – I mean, the post game at Jacksonville last year, obviously it was like end of season, so there was so much big picture questioning going on, right? Like, where do they go from here? Like, that would be a time where it'd be like, yeah, it's okay. You want to complain about that? I agree.
Sure.
That was a bad call. So when you – if you're going to – every time you get hit with a call and it's not totally – like, you got destroyed in Cleveland. You don't give a crap. And these calls were fine, in my opinion. I disagree with you guys on some of them. But, I mean, the Fulton was so wrong the other day, I think. So if you're going to do it a lot, then it really becomes – it really falls on deaf ears, doesn't it? Like, you got to save it for when it's actually – I agree with you. Like, yes. Say what you really think, of course. But if that's what you really think, I think there's – maybe a little bit of accountability missing.
No, I agree. And the more you whine about it, the more it falls on deaf ears. And the more you whine about it or the more you get penalized, the more you're going to get penalized as a defensive back, I think. I mean, you get a rep going into a game. They've studied your film, so to speak, and they know, oh, this guy's super handsy, or this guy doesn't turn his head. So when you don't turn your head, and the Titans defensive backs have had trouble turning their head. I thought Chris Harris was going to fix that. He's fixed it with Roger McCreary. Roger McCreary is playing a very technically sound defensive back. You know, Sean Murphy Bunting is, you know, good, not great, which is what you thought when they signed him. And Christian Fulton is not playing anywhere near close to what Christian Fulton could be at his best.
What do you think of the way Tannehill's played through five games? The stats, traditional stats would tell you about 200 yards a game, two touchdowns, five picks. Overall, what do you make of the way Tannehill's played through five games?
Yeah, I like that he's become more mobile the last couple games, that they've put him on the move a little bit more. I thought maybe that element of his game was dead in terms of, like, his legs were gone. So I'm encouraged that that's not been the case, you know. He's made some not great decisions. It's hard to erase that New Orleans game from the body of work, even though it's now just 1/5 and it was so, so terrible. But, you know, he's been under ridiculous amounts of pressure in all but one game. And, you know, I think it's been serviceable. It's the level of quarterbacking, maybe a notch below what I expected, but basically what I expected. The things around him that need to happen, which we all know is how it works for him, aren't really happening in terms of getting the run game going outside of Derek's 122-yard game against Cincinnati where everything went right and they played great. The offense as a whole is not functioning properly, and without it functioning properly, he's going to look more and more average and below average. And the red zone thing is the main thing. They've been a good red zone team under Vrabel, and they're not one now. And that's the big problem. And, I mean, they just have to score. You can't – they're averaging 17.5 again. Yep. And they're not going to win averaging 17.5, period.
Why do you think it's gone so far the other way in the red zone? I mean, they've been a top 10 red zone team for 3 years in a row, and now they're near the bottom of the league to this point.
I mean, they like to say, you know, something goes wrong every time they're down there. But, you know, I made a big deal out of this in what I wrote off of the game. I say, well, you know, we had the 1st and 20 off of the Chig pass interference penalty. The 1st and 20 were behind the sticks. We can't function when we're behind the sticks. Well, they had 1st and 10 three other times. One of them was from the 19 and Spears ran it in for a touchdown. Two other times they had clean 1st and 10 starts inside the 20. But all they want to talk about is the first and 20. That's all they talk about ever. If they have behind the sticks situations, that's all they talk about. If they have one in the game, they talk about the setback of that and the struggle to overcome that, almost to the point that, like, when they have a first and 10 in there, they're acting like it's a first and 15 or a first and 20, or they're scared that they're going to wind up in a first and 15 or a first and 20. I honestly think that thinking pervades everything. Pervade? Am I right there?
Sure.
Better
than buy.
It's just in their head all the time. What about the two possessions where you had first and 10 inside the 20? I think one was from the 13, the other one 14, 17 or something. Everything was clean there. Where's your explanation for why you can't function from there? Mike Herndon has a piece up about this, a deep dive onto their red zone issues for the whole season at paulkuharski.com, which is a good read. Basically, something goes wrong every time that sets things up, and it's not necessarily a penalty that moves them backwards. But they got to play cleaner and smarter, and they're not a clean, smart football team once they cross the 20.
Yeah. I mean, because I like a lot of Tim Kelly, what we've seen. I'm more than – certainly I like way more than I don't like, but that has to change dramatically. That's a huge – you know, right? That's a huge marker for an offensive coordinator.
The Hopkins stat on that's incredible.
Yeah.
They've only been targeted twice down there.
That would be one of your possible answers. Coy in Clarksville, I just want to throw this in at you, PK. Why do we continue to make excuses for this subpar QB? Two passing TDs in five games. That's terrible. Why are you making excuses for Ryan Tannehill, PK?
I'm not making excuses. I mean, the rest of the offense needs to be better around him. He needs that to be the quarterback he can be. That's a shortcoming of his. But if you're suggesting that the alternatives, if you're suggesting the alternatives are better, they're
right.
Not.
That's my question, Coy. First of all, I think Tannehill's been very good in three games and didn't have a chance in one and was terrible in one. But are you suggesting then that the Titans have a better chance to win with either of the other two quarterbacks right now?
They don't.
They absolutely don't.
We have to move past that. Will we, as a society, move past that?
They won't.
I mean, at this point. We've talked about this enough. We're not going to sit here and rehash it right now. But they're not putting another quarterback in until the season's done. Like, until they're out of it. They're not doing it.
I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
No? Ooh. Another Stillian Pauly take. Go ahead.
I'm not calling for it. But, I mean, I think at a certain point, if you go lose now in against Baltimore, you know, if you fall enough behind in the division, you're always going to have the division games. But, I mean, at some point, there's got to be a line where you say, it's not happening for us as we're currently constructed.
Let's stink?
Let's take a look.
Right, but I guess that's what I mean, though. Like, if they're 6-8, they're still leaving Tannehill in at that point.
I would think so. But what's your number? So I don't know. Let's say 3-7, 3-6,
3-7. I think about calling for it.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to put that number down for you. Hey, I got numbers. We can come back with it.
Okay.
I got numbers that Zach has found for us.
Okay. We'll get into that. More with Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com on all things Titans coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join us tomorrow. Your chance to participate in Preds Pick a Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Pick a Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us. By the way, guys, Anthony Richardson, looks like he's been placed on IR, and the timeline of his return, 4 to 8 weeks. So that's a... It's a big loss from the Colts from the standpoint of getting a good evaluation in on where your rookie quarterback is. You know, Minshew came in and played really well on Sunday against the Titans. As far as backup quarterbacks go, he's one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league. So, I don't know. How do you guys think this is going to affect the Colts as they move forward with Richardson out 4 to 8 weeks?
Handed to Le'Veon Bell and his backup Jonathan
Taylor. Yeah, that's right. So. Minshew is up and down, but his ups can be pretty good. Harold Landry, don't say he's not an impact player.
That's right.
Just changed the quarterback of of one of the Titans' competitors for a month or two.
That is true. Real quick, a couple things to get to. One, my own personal text line still meant, I was like, what's your problem with ending racism? Yeah, the point is that the NFL, just stop it. And he keeps blowing me up. I think he was actually trolling me. Zach says, since 97, number of games, win-loss record, win percentage. Number of games with 16 points. Denver, number one, 27. Washington, number two, 26. Baltimore, number three, 24. Buffalo, also with 24. The Titans are fifth with 22. They have a 10-12 record in those games. Everybody has a losing record in those games except the Baltimore Ravens. 14-10 in those games, which they score 60 points, which is exactly perfect to represent the Baltimore Ravens, right?
That's amazing that there are that many 16-point games.
Right.
I find the NFL incredibly entertaining. I love the product. But I'm stunned that there are that many touchdown and three field goal outputs.
I mean, for the Ravens, well, they've got 24 of those in that span.
Actually,
since 97.
Some are probably two tutties and a safety with them.
Like,
know?
17 of those had to come from like 98 to 2003, didn't they?
In that one.
Exactly.
That would be interesting to look at the breakdown. Like, for most of those teams, are they all in like one era?
Right.
For the Titans, they're spread out over the life of the franchise.
The whole time.
Hey, so, Go ahead. All right, real quick. Coy has responded. I just feel that Ryan Tannehill is 35 years old, looks like a rookie QB. It's time for a change. He hasn't been it since that Bengals playoff game. You know, I sat next to Coy at our draft. Is he winless in our fantasy league? I hope so after that take.
No, I am, so.
Well, it's a tough one.
Way to turn to an authority there.
Really nicely done.
Come on, Coy.
So, PK, your thoughts on the Ravens matchup in London? Obviously, I mean, if you lose this one, you're 2-4 by the bye week rolling around. You got Atlanta the week after that. But how do you view the Ravens team, what you've seen to this point, and how the Titans match up against them on Sunday?
I don't love the Ravens. I'm not a Lamar Jackson guy. I know he's played pretty well this year. You know, this Titans up and down, back and forth, I could totally see it sticking. Ravens went to London on Monday. Titans not going until after practice on Thursday.
Yep.
Vrabel liked the way it worked for them last time, except for the two-point conversion. So, you know, we'll see if that factors in at all. Got to be a little scared of the turf, which didn't get a good review at Tottenham. But... you know, I can't pretend to have any feel for what this team is going to do. You know, do you get the Bengals Titans or do you get the Colts or Browns Titans? I can't imagine anybody's betting on this team with any regularity. If you are, you'd be wise to go, you know, with the back and forth thing is the consistent thing to this point.
Or you just bet the under on the game, you know.
Maybe so.
Bet on them to score 16.
The odds would tell you there's a good chance. No,
I won't be surprised by anything that happens in this game. How's that for brilliant analysis?
I'm with you, though.
I think they've got to try to force it with Henry, and I don't feel like they've tried to force it with Henry when things haven't gone well. And I wonder if that's not part of the problem.
That's an interesting point because I do feel like there's a lot of back and forth on this, which is, man, Spears is explosive. Get that guy the ball. But also, it's Derrick Henry.
Right.
Look, I think that Derrick Henry didn't have a great game against the Colts. I know that for some people, that's just impossible. There's no way. It's always somebody else's fault. I thought he had a chance at a couple runs that I would expect him to get to the second level, and he didn't.
I'd agree with
but
that.
But I also think that if you're going to look at this Titans offense realistically, how much does he set up by being on the field? He set up the Spears touchdown by taking the defense left, right? It's an interesting point. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I don't know if that would work. They have a really strange identity crisis.
That's
right
the problem
now.
When you're not forcing it to him. And I'm not saying force as a bad thing. I'm saying force as a good thing. When you're not relying on him to a heavier degree, then who are you? And I think that's where they are right now. And I think the answer is they don't know. And when you don't know who you are in the NFL, you're doomed.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, and I look at them offensively. I mean, I guess the good news is they're technically the home team on Sunday, aren't they? So maybe maybe 27's coming back their way. Just get the home performance back in there.
There you go.
Look, the main thing for me in the passing game, son, like Hopkins, I felt like on Sunday they should have targeted him even more than they did. I mean, he ends up with 11. And late in the second half, I mean, he's just killing the Colts. And it's that 3rd and 6, that second to last drive we're talking about. I mean, not even looking his way there, I think, is criminal. Like, you got to find a way to get him the football.
They've also preached defensively, you know, punch the ball out and all of that. And Vrabel kind of took a shot at his defense on Monday about their failure to tip passes and punch the ball out for how much they've talked about it. Now, you had that one turnover that Sean Murphy Bunting caused where they moved backwards 9 yards and got a field goal. But, you know, if you could get a turnover from the other team in nice field position – you get a bonus possession potentially in the red zone or close to it, and they haven't had those either. And we know this offense needs that because driving the ball is exhausting.
I mean, this defense has been tremendously disappointing.
There's no question.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And look, I think the Colts kind of put it on paper for people, not that you didn't know, but Baltimore may be equipped to do kind of the same thing. Tierre Tart or no Tierre Tart, if you can get the ball with your backs to Gibbons and Al-Shaair, that's a great recipe.
I thought they played well the week before, but
they did. But I mean,
they didn't play well this week.
Yeah, but how clean are they? Right, if the interior defensive line keeps them clean, they're good, and if they don't, they're not.
That's right. PK, thanks for being with us. Have fun in London.
Don't block the box and do lock your locks. Cheerio.
If you're on Kaharski and he has a phone, hide your...
We'll be back tomorrow, 6 a.m., live from Bridgestone Arena. Looking forward to that as the Predators have their home opener. Jason Big Joe up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.